Hi everyone, and welcome to The Power of Joy with me, Adam Lyons. Today I'm going to be bringing you some Strictly Magic through to your ears with Anton DeBeck. Anton is a British ballroom and Latin dancer, author and television presenter, best known for being an OG professional dancer and now a judge on the BBC One celebrity dancing show Strictly Come Dancing. His professional dance partner since 1997 has been Erin Vogue, and I toured with them for 6 years around the UK. So whether you are on your commute or chilling at home, doing your thing, having a walk, get ready for some sparkle in your headphones. This episode is full of nothing but tens across the board. Complete joy. I give you joy with Anton DeBeck. Anton DeBeck, my leading man. What a joy it is to have you on today. How are you?
I'm delighted. I'm absolutely thrilled to be on. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, no, thank you. It's an absolute honour. Now, for those of you who are listening, you might wonder why I keep referring to Anton in this podcast as my leading. Well, it's because Anton was my leading man on tour for 6 years, and we adored our leadings that were Anton and Erin.
you are John Bob, one of my favorite boys. I used to call you my boys. And girls, my girls. We did have a propensity to get people in the show that we really loved, which was you. And I can't believe it was only 6 years. It felt like much longer than
I know.
It must have been more. You must have done some other years as well. But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing it. And you are a sublime talent.
Oh my gosh.
It was a joy to have you on the show.
It's a joy to have you telling me that. So thank you so much. But Anton, my leading, thank you so much for taking the time out of your crazy schedule right now. I mean, come on. 2004, OG Strictly Professional in Series 1, cut to 17 years later, June 2021, it was announced that you would become a permanent judge on the show. What an absolute joyride. But how did it feel to step into those judging shoes after being judged for the majority of your career?
Well, you know, it was twofold, really. One, it was to keep it, you know, in line with the podcast. It was an absolute joy because it meant I remained in the show. I mean, because I love the show so much. I always have since it began, and I enjoyed enormously being a professional dancer and being partnered up with these incredible ladies. And you know better than most the fun we have talking about all the partners on tour when we're doing the shows. And I talk about the old partners all the time, and it was a wonderful time together.
Yeah.
But being moved into the judging panel was incredible because it meant I had a bigger part in the show because I'd be a part of everybody's sort of dance and journey, if you like, because of the judging part. So as opposed to just my own little bit with my partner. And of course, when you're out, which was always the hideous bit for me. I hated being voted out. So now I'm there till the final, which is just brilliant. I'm delighted about that. But it means I'm still in the show and was still a huge part of the show. And I just love the show.
Oh, well, I just feel like it was your destiny to become a judge. And to me,
thank you.
You are Strictly. You were part of the furniture, and I just couldn't imagine it without you.
Well, I kind of imagined not ever doing it.
Oh, well, it just makes me smile. And every time you say the word joy in your critiques on the show, you know, you're always saying things like, it was an absolute joy.
Absolute joy.
I just knowing you on a more personal level and having worked with you for such a long time, you really are the definition of joy in every way. And I always admired that about you. And, you know, people have asked me, oh, what's Anton really like? And I always just say, like, he is a complete joy. He is what you see on TV, just so authentically himself. You ooze passion in everything you do. And, yeah, you've just taught me so much over the years.
Well, you're a beauty and I love you. I mean, but we're very lucky, aren't we? We get to do the thing we love to do the most for a job, really. And it's never really a job. I mean, it is just... we're just having a wonderful, wonderful time and trying to do it to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to put a show on, but we're enjoying doing it. And we're very lucky, and that's the thing. I mean, I never like to count the chickens and think I'm just, we've cracked it or it'll be fine forever. Because it won't. You know, you've got to keep working at it. You've got to keep pushing. And you remember it was like we were in the studio and rehearsing. We didn't just settle for putting something out there will be fine. It'll be fine. The mere fact that we're on stage will be enough. And it's not that at all. You have to work at it. You have to produce something. And it's like what you're doing at the moment. I mean, I know you're being an absolute star in Mrs. Doubtfire. Now, that would have been easy for the producers and the promoters to just run off the back of the movie and gone, oh, here's the headline. Oh, okay, fine. I love the movie. Let's go and watch a show. But it's not that. I know it's a full-on evening and a wonderful, wonderful show with everybody's performances right up there. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. You've got to, you know, you've got to give of yourself as much as you can. But we love that. Mm-hmm. And that's where the joy comes from. It is the joy of creating, performing and sharing. And those are the three things that go hand in hand.
100%. And you know, outside the theatre where Mrs. Doubtfire is, it says a complete joy. That's the slogan, which is everywhere. And there you have it.
There you go. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
So, Anton, what are the things that bring you joy every single day in the life of Anton de Beck?
Well, I'm lucky. I've got incredible twins. I've got George and Henrietta. They are, and Hannah, my incredible wife. Yeah. They are the lights of my life, really. That's where everything begins and ends with them. But I'm also very fortunate that I get to do this. And I spend my time in rooms and in theatres and in studios with incredible people. I mean, and I hope you don't mind, and I'll keep mentioning the word joy, and hope it doesn't get too boring.
No, say it over and over again. It's the power of joy.
But there isn't anything quite like being in a room, for me, of creative, incredible, energized, enthusiastic dancers, performers. And when I used to do the group dances on Strictly Come Dancing, just being in the room with all the other pros in that energy and in that sort of incredibleness, it gives one life. And then when we were all in the studio rehearsing and putting together the show, it just makes you feel young. It is like, they used to call it a tonic years ago. And it is that. It's like an injection of spirit and youthfulness and incredibleness. And then going on stage, you know, and sharing all that with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, that for me that's where my joy and enthusiasm comes from, really.
Yeah. It just fuels you to keep going.
It, exactly that. Mm-hmm. It absolutely does that.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky. I work with brilliant people who are wonderful and enjoy it as much as I do. And I think that's where it begins and ends. I can't be in a room with people who aren't loving what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you can tell that straight away. Mm-hmm. Who are just sort of, you know, what they call texting it in or whatever.
Yes. Going through the motions, but not giving their full soul in the room and everywhere. Yeah.
That straight away, and you need it, without the energy, without that enthusiasm for it, without that optimism about it, you lose something in the performance. And I'm lucky. I've been in a room with you and Kelly and Ellie and Luke and all the guys and girls that we've had before you guys and through the years who have just been. Do you know what they've done? They've loved it as much as I've loved it. And all that sort of my name and Erin's name above the title and stuff, and it's our show. You guys have loved it as much, and you wanted it to be as great as we wanted it to be.
Oh, yeah.
And then it becomes a shared experience, and I love that.
Yeah.
And that means so much to me, and I'm sort of so grateful to everybody who's involved in my shows for being that way. Because it'd be easy for them just to come in and do it by numbers and then go home, pick up the, you know, paycheck at the end of the week sort of thing, but they don't. And now the one I'm doing here, the evening with, sort of it's like a one man show really, but it's not. I've got the band, I've got the girls as well, and I've got the dance singing away as well, and they're all in it. We're all in it together, and it is lovely, you know.
Yeah. I just believe if you're doing something, commit to it with 100% and make it as good as it possibly can as a team, and you can't go wrong. That translates into the audience.
Because what's the other option? Don't do it as well.
Exactly.
I mean, you have, you know, when you walk into a room, you've got two options. You can either be great or terrible. And it all depends on how much effort you put in,
yeah.
how much love you give it,
yeah.
how much desire you give it. And, you know, it's a very simple decision, and you make that every single day, or everyone makes that every single day. But it's a very simple decision. There's no confusion. One's not more difficult than the other.
Yeah.
So very easy. You either go left or right.
Yes, Anton. Oh. Now, when did you discover your passion for dance? And tell us a bit about what life was like before Strictly.
Well, we were competitive ballroom dancers, and I started dancing when I was about 13 or 14, something like that. And then, you know, we started off, we did our medals, our bronze medal and our silver medal and all that sort of thing. And then we started doing some competitions. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, you dance competitions within your for your dance school. So they're like dance school competitions. Mm-hmm. And then you dance against other dance schools within your sort of age and grade. So I'll dance against other people doing their bronze medals and other people doing their silver medals and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get up into sort of what they call gold and above, and then it sort of becomes a bit more open. And then you can dance with it, and also you can dance with your teacher or whomever, because you're only being judged on yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you get into what we call the open competition circuit, where you get a part,
yeah.
and then you're off competing again. And there is no sort of categories or grades or any of that stuff. You do a competition, and it's you and your partner against everybody else. And then that's where it becomes a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Fine. We're going to do this. We're going to have lessons. We're going to train. We're going to practice. And you're all, it's just you and your partner, so it's Erin and I, and it was her and I against the world.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. And we would practice, and we would be in control of our own little sort of company, and our company was us.
Yeah.
And we'd have the lessons from who we wanted to have lessons from, we'd do the competitions we want to do, we'd practice where we want, when we want, do all that. And then you just go off and do competition, and you go up through the sort of ranks, you know, and you get further and further. And next thing you know, you're in a quarterfinal. The next thing you know, a semi-final. Then you're in the final. Once you make the final, you work your way up the final to eventually try and be the champion. So that's the sort of process. But it is solely that.
Yeah.
There is no time for anything else. You have jobs to fund it, but fundamentally, the focus is on the goal. The goal is, I suppose, the long-term goal is be the world champion, whatever it is, and you're on that path.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, out of the blue, comes Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
And it all took us a bit by surprise. And then the world changed, yeah. and then it became a different, entirely different world. The competition world still goes on, and it's still exactly the same. One of the girls in my show now, Rosie, who I do a couple of bits of ballroom dancing with
yeah.
in the show, and she's a part of the show. But she's still a competitive ballroom dancer, so she has her me, if mm-hmm. you like, to my era. So with David, her sort of professional partner,
mm-hmm.
who compete and do all that sort of stuff. But she does this because she wants to,
yeah.
as an extra sort of string to her bow. She wants to experience what it's like to dance in a theatre and be part of a show like this, as opposed to just doing competitions all the time. She wants yeah. to feel that sort of standing on stage, audience, different styles of dance, how a show, and all that. She wants to experience that. So she does, she comes and does the show with us as well. So that world still goes, but then suddenly we've come to a different sort of world, a different world that's opened up since Strictly, because this sort of thing was never a thing.
Yeah.
Sort of any sort of ballroom dancing in theatres wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Now you have lots of guys and girls going out. Giovanni's always going out. Giovanni and I go out.
Yeah.
Aaron and I went out for years. I'm still going out on my own now. Johannes goes out. Everybody gets Strictly do their own show.
Yeah.
So lots of people go out and do this style of show, which has been incredible. I mean, for example, when you were training at college, you never thought you would do fundamentally a sort of a ballroom stroke musical theatre mm. style show. That was
yeah.
that wouldn't have been in your training.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been. So it's a great thing that this has happened, I think, for dancers
yeah.
In the industry, because it gives them more opportunities to do shows. You used to say to me, actually, and then the guys and the girls often say, the great thing about doing this sort of show, our show, for mm-hmm. example, is that you felt like you danced.
Oh, yes. I haven't danced like it since. I don't think I ever will. Like, I danced. Loved
you. Rather than play, because when you, sometimes being a dancer, you can be like a musician. Mm-hmm. And if you're in an orchestra, you'll have a part. Mm. So if you're in, for example, Mrs. Doubtfire, you'll have a part.
Yeah.
So your choreography will be a bit here, and then you'll have a bit of a song or a song.
Yeah.
And then you'll be within the company.
Yeah.
When you're in a Sherlock House, every number is built with dance, narrative running through, and you're part of it all. Because we're doing it as an ensemble.
Yeah.
Just like a massive ensemble with a couple of sort of stars, if you like, doing a couple of solos. But it's full on. And this is incredible, I think, for the industry that these shows, these sorts of stars and shows are going out and being successful, because it is great for dancers who come through college and go out into the wider world and want to become, you know, musical theatre stars or be part of the whole world.
Yeah.
But then it's very rapidly find there's not much for them to do. Mm-hmm. There's not many jobs. Mm-hmm. Firstly, there aren't many jobs for straight dancers. So unless you can sing, which you can, you've got a remarkable voice. You're sort of instantly limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you get a bit commercial dance now. And this is another thing that's developed over the years, is commercial dance. But once upon a time, you'd be sort of a backing dance for in a pop video. And it'd be a dig on one, point on two, and all that sort of. Now these are incredible numbers. Mm. I suppose Paul Jackson started that, really. But so that's another avenue. And one of our girls, the wonderful Crystal.
Crystal
R. I mean, the Crystal Chandelier.
Oh.
She is an exquisite dancer and a remarkable commercial dancer. She, you know, anybody putting on a big show like that just picks the phone and says, "Crystal, come and do my show."
Yeah.
And she was one of our girls. And,
of course.
She learned nothing from us. But you already brought it with her. But it is that wonderful thing about doors opening within the industry, giving people the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
And the joy, I mean, I come back to joy again, but the joy from that is lovely. You know, it's because it runs through the business. And I think that's massively important.
Yeah, 100%. Now, Anton, talking about doors opening, when that door opened for you, do you remember the day you found out that you were going to star on the show as a Strictly Professional, and how did it feel?
Well, this is very interesting. It's slightly twofold, really, because initially when the BBC came to us and said, "We're going to make this to us, the big Born Dancer," so we're going to make this TV show, Born Dancer, like the old come dancing, but the 70s, we instantly went, "Oh, no, thanks.
Okay.
Oh, no, let's not get involved in that. That sounds like a disaster. Right. We can't be bothered with that. We want to carry on doing what we're doing." Mm-hmm. And then they said these immortal words. They went, "Well, we're going to make it anyway, whether you guys get involved or not." And we thought, right, okay. Well, we better get involved because it's a ballroom dancing show. So we thought we'd get involved. So a load of us did our CV and did a sort of screen test and did a couple of, we taught a couple of beginners and showed them how we taught and one thing. I suspect Aaron told you all this. And then Aaron and I went off to China to the big competition in China.
Okay.
And then we were waiting to hear, and they made the decision whilst we were in China.
Right.
And when we came back, we found out that they wanted us to be in the show. But at that day, there were only eight couples.
Yeah.
Eight couples, there, four boys, four girls. And they weren't taking couples, dancing couples. They were taking individuals, but they wanted both Aaron and Anna, which is great for us.
Yeah.
And do you know what the biggest elation was? I mean, I was beyond excited about being on it. And the thought that I might be able to do ballroom dancing on television.
Yes.
I mean, could you imagine that?
Wow.
But the other thing was working with my great hero, Brucey.
Oh, yes.
So the thought I'd be working with Brucey every weekend was unbelievable for me.
Yeah.
Because he was that song and dance. I always felt although I was a mad ballroom, competitive ballroom dance, Latin ballroom in the beginning, then specialised in ballroom later on. Mm-hmm. I always sort of felt like a kindred spirit to the old sort of hoofers, the song and dance men. You know, the Fred Astaires and the Bruce's and all these guys from them. I felt that.
Yes.
Although the closest I could get to that was this, the ballroom dance.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to work with Brucey was the sort of ultimate thrill.
But who were your favourite contestants you were coupled up with over the years? Like, if you had to pick one particular contestant who you just didn't stop laughing with and had the most joyful experience with.
Well, I have to be honest with you, they've all been amazing. Right. I mean, the first one I got to partner with was Leslie Garrett. And I have to say, I owe an enormous amount to her, because without her, yeah, it could have gone pear-shaped, you know. She has this enthusiasm and joy. I mean, she was loved it, loved it. And I went, this is great.
Yeah.
And she's great personality and immense talent. Yeah. So that was perfect for me. If I'd got some awful newsreader who couldn't get off the sofa, it might have gone a bit funny. But she was like full on all the time. And I went, yes, this is great.
Oh, I love that.
So she was extraordinary.
Yeah.
And then I got Esther Ransom the year after. It was later that year, but the second series, who was Esther Ransom, who's the most legendary lady of television ever.
Yeah.
And I learned so much from her. And then it went on, and I just had a great, great time with all my... I mean, one of the most people that... The person that people still talk to me about, still ask me about, is the incredible Anne Whittaker.
Oh, yes.
So...
legendary, I think, iconic.
Iconic.
Yes.
But she was... she was remarkable as well. And we had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot. She was very fun.
Oh, amazing.
I mean, it's just, I've just been so lucky with the ladies I've danced with that they've all been enormous fun. Ruth Lainsford,
yeah.
Judy Murray.
Yeah. And it was so nice to meet some of them on tour. They used to come to wherever we were and sometimes do a cheeky number, which was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, lovely, lovely, lovely. I mean, I'm very, very, very lucky to have all these ladies.
What a time. Oh, no. It must be so difficult, though, to narrow this down, but is there one particular joyous pinch-me moment in your whole Strictly journey that will stick with you forever?
Well, there's a couple, really, I suppose. Mm-hmm. The first ever show, walking out with Leslie Garrett and going, wow, we're actually doing this.
Here we go.
Right.
Buckle up.
Here we go. Away you go. That was incredible. The other great moment was the moment I did that number. I did Me and My Shadow with Brucey on Strictly.
Yes.
I was, that was, bear in mind that, you know, I was a lover of all that stuff, the old song and dance man, and I loved that growing up. And we would watch it, you know, we were always watching the Frank Sinatras in front of the Count Basies and the Rat Packs and all that. Yeah. Loved all of that stuff. And the thought that I'd be doing a number like that with my great hero and friend, incredible Bruce Forsyth, on Strictly.
Wow.
I mean, it sort of blew my mind a bit, really.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. I keep using the word extraordinary, but an extraordinary moment for me in my career.
Yeah.
And in my life. Actually, it's not even a career thing, really. It's a sort of a life moment. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I remember another moment, we had a lovely moment. Do you remember, were you with us when we did a Christmas cracker at the Royal Albert Hall? Were you with us?
I was with you.
And, well, it was moments like that where you go and you walk out and you go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And Anton and we walk out in front of a room, the Albert Hall full.
I couldn't believe it. That was a pinch me moment. I was like, as if I'm dancing for Anton and Erin at the Royal Albert Hall today. It was
crazy. We're at the Royal Albert Hall. Oh. I mean, we've got the band, the big orchestra there, we've got the choir there, the tree there, the dark. It's moments like that where you go, I'm very lucky and I love this.
Yeah, they're the moments I wish people could experience, if they could see it through our eyes at that moment.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
It's as special for us as it is for anybody else, I think. You know, you go and people go and watch their favourite artist, whether it's, I mean, Taylor Swift at the moment is stratospheric and, you know, all these incredible people. And Beyonce was on tour not so long ago and doing some shows. Kylie's back again.
Yes.
And all these fabulous, talented, wonderful people.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, I must get a ticket. And they get a ticket and they go along and you're there and you might be somewhere near the front and you're having this amazing time. Well, let me tell you, the people on stage are equally having as great a time, stood there looking out, going, thank you, first of all, for coming. This is just brilliant.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I'm here, really.
Oh.
And it is remarkable.
It's just magic. And Strictly is pure magic. And the joy that that show brings is like no other show on TV. It captures our heart year after year, which is just gold. But are you enjoying this series? And who is catching your eye on the dance floor?
Well, I am enjoying this series. I think it's a really interesting series. I've had one or two people say to me, because you know on the show we're doing, I'm doing an evening with, and so I get people to text me questions and ask me questions about anything. Ask me what you like. Questions. Now, I've had a couple of questions this week during the shows we've been doing, and people have gone, were you a bit grumpy on Saturday night? And it's hilarious, because I didn't... Because everyone didn't score everybody 12 and didn't go, you're amazing and you're amazing.
Yeah.
They went wrong, but you're amazing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't go mad for everyone. People were like, oh, he's got a bit crumpy.
Oh.
And I wasn't crumpy. It's such a good series. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really enjoying about it is the volatility of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There are people at the top of the leaderboard and other people at the top of the leaderboard one week, and somebody's great, but not that great. And somebody's, he's gone a bit wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's all over the place, mm-hmm. and I think that's really, really exciting. Yeah. But I tell you, I'm loving it, and I really genuinely think everybody is just great.
Yeah.
I think we've got Blackpool, coming up soon. And I think it's going to be the strongest Blackpool we've ever had.
Oh, yes, I can't wait to see it. And for me, Leighton is a firecracker, Ellie. I mean, they're all just so, so good. And I'm seeing backflips, I'm seeing lifts, I'm seeing energy, I'm seeing technique. They are just all leaving me shook on a Saturday night.
They are leaving me shook.
We're all shook.
Leighton is... I just love to see what he's going to bring.
Oh,
he's terrific.
Yeah.
Ellie... Vito are doing it's incredible. They've formed a really good partnership.
Yeah.
And it's really good. She's doing that really interesting thing where she's sort of morphing a little bit into Vito in his sort of style. Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean, yeah.
They're coming together so brilliantly that her style is so sort of Vito, and it's lovely because they're so brilliantly together.
Mm.
That it's very difficult not to love.
Yeah,
you know, you're looking at it and going, "Wow, I don't know what to not love here."
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you know, you're in that position where when you're judging, there's two things a judging. When you get to you start off where you go, "Okay, show me what you got. Let's have a look what you got."
Yeah,
and you go, "Oh well, that's not too bad, but that's not much good." Your top line's not too bad. I don't mind that. Your feet are off. Well, your head's in a funny place. But, yeah, actually, that's not too bad. I like the way you usually leg it. So they're a bit, you like bits.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get to a period where you go, gosh, this is essentially all good. I'm now waiting for something. I'm waiting for something I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So I start off trying to find the bits I do like. And now they've got so accomplished, I'm now searching for the bits I don't like. Which gives me a reason to say something, which gives me something to talk about.
Yes.
Now, I don't mean that in a cynical way, but because we're judging it, you know, so we've got to be critical.
You've got to give critique, constructive criticism. But they need to work on it, yeah.
But when you're in a position where you're going, crikey, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a brilliant place to find yourself.
Yeah.
As a dancer. Oof.
Yeah.
And then... I mean, these guys and girls, they're all heading in that direction.
Yeah.
Where we're waiting for something to go a bit wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it doesn't, you're going, well, don't say that. This sounds rather good, actually. So, well done.
Yeah.
12. What can I say?
It is a joy to watch. An absolute joy.
It's a joy. It's a joy.
But let me take you back now to 2009. You and Erin set out on your first sellout headlining tour. And it didn't stop until the last tour, what I did with you last year, 2022. Time really does fly. But tell us all about the tour life and the joy it brings you to be on the road. I know you also tour with Giovanni now, and you've got
your
audience with Anton. Just tell us all about what you love about touring.
Well, it's what we were talking about earlier. It's being in a room with incredible people. And when we first did the first ever show, we just had a huge orchestra, Erin and I, and we had one other couple and a singer. And it was supposed to be a bit like an evening with, but it turned into this huge 36-piece orchestra, huge concert. I mean, oh, crap, this is big.
Yeah, that's what made it so special, like the orchestra.
The orchestra is a... So I've always had an orchestra stroke band.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to... So we thought, oh, okay, this is great. And then the following year we came back and we wanted to do more. So we started... We had one other couple with us who were sort of principally a Latin couple.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to change tack and get musical theatre people in.
Yeah.
So we got two musical theatre couples, and there's Erin and I. And we started to do these sort of numbers, a bit more sort of musical theatre style numbers, with us doing sort of ballroom sort of set pieces through it, some songs, still the massive orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And we always sort of chatted to an audience. We always liked to chat. So we do questions from the audience. People would write their questions down on a piece of paper and put them in a box. And we would do like a sort of Q&A sort of affair, which became sort of the most popular part of the show.
Oh, they loved it. They do.
So we would do sort of like, they call it market research, if you like. And we'd ask people, what did you enjoy about the show? And they go, oh, chat, Q&A. First thing.
Yeah.
And it's that expectation that they knew we would be nice to watch dancing. They knew it would be good dancing.
Yeah.
We had no idea we would be so funny or something like that. And that was always the most, they loved that. And then it would follow by the orchestra, it followed frocks.
Yeah.
And then, what about dancing? Oh, no, dancing was great.
Yeah.
We sort of knew that.
Yeah.
And so the chat part became just a sort of an integral part of the show. It became like an extra dance, the chat part.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful time doing it. So, but we loved walking out in front of an audience and being in a room with an audience. We never sort of went for the fourth wall thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was never really our sort of thing. We liked the connection.
Oh, yeah.
We liked that. How are you, madam?
Yeah.
I'm very well. Nice to see you. Where are you from? Grimsby.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. How are you? And we liked all that sort of.
Yeah, you were allowing your audience into your world. That's what made it so magical.
Yeah. So that was and the other part we loved enormously was being in a room with everybody,
mm-hmm.
putting it together.
Yeah.
And wonderful choreographers.
Oh.
Alan Harding to start with, then Nikki Wollaston later on.
Yeah.
And we just had this incredible, incredible time. I mean, I just remember those times so fondly, you know, being in the studio. And I love it now. And, you know, I'm always, you know, searching out new choreographers to work with, because I love the energy, I love the enthusiasm, I love the new ideas.
Yeah.
And we never wanted to do the same thing twice.
Mm-hmm.
We never did the same thing twice. So for us, it was always that sort of journey of discovery, really.
Yeah, I'll just never forget the feeling when the orchestra strikes up, the overture's playing. We were in the wings, usually in our top hat and tails, just adrenaline rushing through us. I felt like a Hollywood star behind you. I was like, we're just like giving Hollywood on stage. Like, it was everything. And do you remember what we used to do to psych each other up? We'd be in a circle and we'd be like, look to the right, you are a star. Look to the left, you are a star. And we'd all be like, we're all stars. And we'd just go out there and shine like joyous stars, like the morale and just that pure joy.
It was always that. It was always wonderful, wonderful. Everybody was just, it was brilliant. Oh. And it is. I mean, whenever, even the guys now and, you know, just brilliant. Everyone's just, it's all like that. We're all in it. It's that.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yes, I'm loving this.
Oh.
And it is wonderful fun.
Yeah.
It is great. It's the best fun you've ever had. Yeah.
It really is. But then a new partnership blossomed with fellow Strictly star Italian Stallion Giovanni. And you embarked on the Him and Me tour, which I loved. I came to see it in Woken, and it was just such a joy.
Yeah, which was so the promoters and the producers who used to do our show, Erin and I, they stopped doing it. Their company sort of got sold or bought out by this big, I think it was Sony, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they didn't want to do dance shows. They just wanted to focus on music and concerts.
Right.
So it was fine. So, and you know, it's like in theatre, you have to be sort of a year ahead if you've got to book theatre. And now, because we suddenly, at the end of that tour, we suddenly changed promoter.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't booked any theatres the following year. So and so it became a, well, we sort of just missed out, really.
Yeah.
But Giovanni and I had conversations the year before on Strictly, and we started talking about maybe doing this traveling show, the adventure. And so we did the tour together.
Yeah.
And from that came the adventures in Sicily. And we've also made another one. And we're going to Spain.
Yeah.
So adventures in Spain.
Oh, amazing.
And it is. But it was always, it was a very different show to the show that we were there in.
Yeah.
It was
so cool.
Completely different.
Yeah.
But it was no band, all dancers. Mm-hmm. Different energy, but I'm loving doing that, you see, and because I love sharing the stage, and I love sharing the experience. I love a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great doing it together.
Yeah, yeah,
as long
yeah.
as I'm down.
Yeah, I love the bromance what you guys have. It's so lovely yeah, to watch.
He's a lovely boy. I love him.
Yeah,
but Giovanni, I love you.
Yeah,
he's just a great man, and we're sort of cut from the same cloth. Funny enough, although he's obviously much older than me, we are sort of cut from the same cloth, and he loves show business, really.
Yeah.
In a sort of an old-fashioned way.
Right. Oh, I love it. You just do not stop, though, my leading. Like, you're currently judging on Strictly, but you're doing your own tour right now. And let's talk about the Palladium. Oh, my gosh. I was there. I was cheering you all on the other week. Like, what a moment.
I've never done the Palladium,
yeah.
And I always wanted to do the Palladium, but with my own show.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be part of something else. Mm-hmm. I wanted, because the Palladium is sort of the spiritual home of variety and song and dance, mm-hmm. and stuff, I've always felt.
Yeah.
And that's growing up watching the Raw Variety Show with Brucey,
yeah.
my great hero, as I keep saying. And I always thought I'd love to be able to walk out onto the Palladium stage.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we organise it with this evening with show, and we have the orchestra there and all the dancers, and we all came out in top hat and canes on the first one.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of special guests, and it was a great night. It was sort of a great emotional sort of a tick
yeah.
in that I've done something I've dreamed of doing, Box.
100%.
It was an incredible night, but it doesn't seem like a big enough word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was joyous, it was.
Yeah.
But I went down under the stage, and Bruce's ashes are there in under the stage.
Yeah.
And I went down there and I had a look at those, and it was quite a night.
Yeah, and the blue plaque on the wall under the stage, it says,
yeah.
without question, the UK's greatest entertainer, he rests in peace with the sound of music, laughter and dancing, exactly where he would want to be. I mean, how beautiful. And you were there with Bruce in your heart during that night. It's incredible.
I was. And that sums it up beautifully.
And it was overwhelming. Like, I welled up. I was sitting next to Lauren. She was sitting there watching.
Oh, lovely.
And we were both just like, oh, my gosh, because we knew how much that night meant to you. So it was just, it was beautiful and a joy to watch and to be
It there. Was. I mean, I've been lucky in my career. I've had sort of two parts, the competitive side of things, and now I've got this other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been... and played many wonderful venues and did many wonderful things.
Yeah.
We talked about the Albert Hall earlier on, which is remarkable
yeah.
as well to have done that. But there was this sort of one thing that I'd never done, and it was the Palladium.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that was going, I'd want to do that yeah. in a special way.
Yeah.
And managed to do that. And so I feel really fortunate and blessed, yeah. I think, that I did it.
Yeah, what amazing, what an amazing thing. Now, Anton, your music, your singing, you were just born in this world to entertain. And I love doing the numbers on tour with you where you would sing. And do you remember when we did The Greatest Showman? And I had to sometimes whisper the opening lyrics into one's ear. And I'd be like, ladies and gents. And then you'd be like, ladies and gents. It's a tricky song. It's very wordy.
Lyrics. I don't know why there's so many of them.
Oh, it's a tricky song.
It's a tricky song. And we had this, and the problem is, the longer the show goes on, the more oxygen goes out the brain. And we did this number. So everybody was there. We were doing this number. It was the Great Showman was on at the time. We ended with a big sort of Greatest Showman medley.
It was fab.
And I had Laura Emmett on my back,
mm-hmm.
and I dragged her on from the wings, surrounded by wonderful dancers
yeah.
and And then she'd wander off and go do something fabulous. And then I'd stand in the middle with all of you guys surrounding me in a circle.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to go, ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for. And that was literally all I could remember.
And then I'd be like, Satchel in the dark, Satchel in the dark.
And you'd be down to my right there. You'd be down to my right facing me on your haunches. And I'd go, searching in the dark. And cue me. The line, and then you'd move position round to the other side during the, and then you'd go the next line, and then the next line. But there were one or two occasions where I couldn't hear you properly, yeah. And I misheard you.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go, and I'd mumble it. Oh,
we always had each other's backs. I had my leadings back when I had to.
You were the star.
Oh, God. But going back to your singing, like, another joy for you comes along in November 2017. You signed a record deal with Polydor Records, releasing your debut studio album From the Top, hitting the UK albums chart. How was that process for you?
Like all these things, you never think you have an opportunity to do it, but then somebody says, let's do this. And I go, yes, please. Because I've been singing for years. You know, if everybody comes to see me on tour, you'd have seen that.
Yeah.
With the big orchestra. This wasn't a new thing to me.
Yeah, such a showman.
So we put this album. Well, thank you. But we put this album together, and they did these incredible orchestrations with a big orchestra. Mm-hmm. So it was exactly like I'd been used to.
Oh,
and then we were in the studio. We did the tracks with the wonderful Brian Rawlings, who's an incredible producer.
Yeah.
And then they put them all together, and I did some duets, the one with Lance and one with Hayley Sanderson, and some, and the and it, Connie Fisher did one with me as well. Connie, that wonderful country of How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria fame.
Yeah.
And it was, and then when they go, there you go, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
And you hear it back. I can see why these guys do it and never give up.
It's surreal.
It is.
Surreal.
So it was, and I started with Brian in the studio, I know, couple of years ago. Might just be much. It was just before COVID, I started to get loose track. Mm-hmm. We started putting together a Christmas album.
Mm-hmm.
And we did about four tracks. We laid four tracks.
Oh, you laid it down.
But we suddenly realised we had no time to sort of promote the album,
right,
and tour the album, because I'm doing Strictly, so I can't do anything during Strictly. Mm-hmm. And it's a Christmas album, so what we did was we put it to one side and we thought we'll revisit that,
right,
another time when I've got a bit more time. So there's another half an album in the pipeline with half to do. But what I am going to do beginning next year is I'm going to get in the studio with some of the guys from the band, mm-hmm, and we're going to do like a sessions album.
Oh, fine.
We're gonna put together some tracks in a session sort of feel. I mean, we're not gonna put it out. You don't make CDs anymore. You just sort of download it, and we'll put it down for download.
Yeah.
But I think it would be fun because we'll sort of film it as well, and we'll do this sort of sessions thing, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. On the album, my personal favorite was the Arctic Monkeys cover you did of "I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor." I just remember thinking, "Yes, Anton, like yes."
It wasn't. That was great. Yeah. Do you know, we had an original composition of a song, a brand new song. It was brilliant. And I loved it. And that was sort of the idea to get the album played on the radio. It was put an original song out there, and then the radio would pick it up and they'd play this new song.
Yeah.
But everybody played the Arctic Monkeys cover.
Yeah.
The original song barely got played. So it's just an album track now.
Right.
As brilliant as it is, I think, an album track.
Yeah.
This, the Arctic Monkeys cover, because we swung it up, we put it to a swing arrangement.
So cool.
Just, but again, it's not me. I just stood there and sang it. The guys who rearranged it, put a new arrangement to it, and then the band swinging along to this thing.
Yeah.
Just genius.
Yeah, I loved it.
Amazing.
Now, there really is no end to your talents and your ways of spreading continuous joy. Because a year after releasing your album in 2018, you released your debut novel, One Enchanted Evening, and then five best-selling novels. Like, tell us about your passion for writing and becoming a best-selling author.
Well, it's the storytelling that I love.
Mm.
That's what I love. And so I went to see a publisher and I said, I've got an idea for a story. Do you want to hear it? And they went, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect me to come in with a manuscript, and go, there you are. Yeah. But I just sort of sat there and told them the story. We worked out a system where I could do it like that. Mm-hmm. And it was you know, it was a huge success, and people just enjoyed the stories. Yeah. But that's, for me, the point of it, really, is to tell stories, is to develop characters, is to develop a narrative, is to have interesting people you're reading about with interesting stories. And that's the joy for me. I love it.
Yeah.
Because I sort of live it. That's mm-hmm. my joy. Yeah. I live it.
Yeah. I've really got into books at the minute. I love reading. So I'm going to get some One Enchanted Evening in my life.
I don't. I should send them to you. I've got a back catalogue. You can have more.
Oh, thank you, Leading.
My star.
Oh. Now, Anton, if you could go back to your childhood bedroom and sit down next to little Anton, what would you like to say to him?
I'd say to him, don't get so frustrated. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Don't get so frustrated.
Yeah.
It will be all right. But who knows? If I didn't, maybe I wouldn't be what I am today. I wouldn't be the man I am today. I mean, somebody might have changed. I might not have been. Because
yeah.
I was terribly, terribly, I still am, as I was. I think of myself as a young man. I was very angry as a young man, mm-hmm. but in a sort of driven way.
Yeah, yeah. That's got you to where you are today. And like, everything happens for a reason.
And so, so you can't change anything. But I'd put my arm around myself and go, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, you got this. I think. You're going to be a star.
There's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of, you know, what does the future hold, as it should be. But I tell myself to never lose that enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Never lose the joy.
Never lose the joy. And finally, what do you want to be most remembered for on this planet?
I think being a wonderful father.
Yeah.
Being a wonderful husband, I think. You'd have to ask my wife about that, but I hope she'll agree. Yeah, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And just bringing joy, really. I want people to feel about me when I walk into a room the same way as I felt about Brucey walking into a room.
Yeah.
I used to get excited when Brucey walked into a room.
Yeah.
I thought, Brucey's there, right, here we go.
Oh.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Lovely. So, but fundamentally, it's everything's about the children.
Yeah.
And Hannah, that's the most important thing. That's the thing that brings me the most joy.
I love that. Now, Anton, I like to finish my podcast with a little dose of joy. So are you up for a quick fire round of questions?
I am, but I've never done a quick fire in my life. But go on.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
Let's go for it. When you think of the word joy, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Joy.
A smile.
What is your coffee order?
Double espresso.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of milk. A little bit of water. Oat milk.
Favorite animal?
Well, I used to be a dog person, but I've sort of got cat person as well now.
Oh. Favorite dance style?
Ballroom.
Of course.
Get a lady in your arm, across the floor.
What superpower would you like to have?
I'd like to have the power to be able to be somewhere else immediately.
Oh, yes. Onto that next venue.
Getting from place to place takes too long.
Yeah.
Waste of life.
I love that. Now, favourite takeaway and what's your order?
You're going to hate me for this. I don't do takeaways.
Erin said exactly the same thing, and that is absolutely fine, because what's your favourite home-cooked meal?
Whatever my beautiful wife would like to make.
Oh, Hannah Joy. Favourite song of all time?
Me and My Shadow, really, I do it still now as homage to Brucey, the song that we did together.
Yeah.
And every time I do it as an homage to Bruce.
Favourite film?
The Bandwagon.
Ooh.
Fred Astaire, Sid Charisse.
Favourite season?
Autumn or spring.
Ooh, okay. Best holiday you've ever been on?
I like that time we spent the weekend together in Wigan. That was lovely.
Favourite place to be on earth?
With my wife and children.
Favourite TV show?
Strictly Come Dancing.
Favourite fellow Strictly judge?
Actually, all of them. I love them all, really.
Yeah,
I love them all.
Love them.
My favourite one of them was old Len.
Winner of Strictly Come Dancing 2023?
Dance will be the winner.
Yes, Leading. I love that. And finally, your favourite dancer that you have ever had on tour with you over the years?
joy of joy, Adam Lyons, who I love.
Oh, my leading. Thank you so much. What a joy. You are just pure joy, and I really wish you could create some kind of magic potion of your energy and joy, bottle it up and save it to the world, because you really do bring so much joy to people's lives and you're just phenomenal. So thank you so much.
I love you.
I love you.
It's official. Oh. I have, but I want the world to know.
Thank you so much. Have the best show tonight.
Thank you, my darling. We're going to do Bangkok. Cool. I love you.
What a joy. Anton de Beck. An absolute legend and someone who really inspired me in my career. And I'm so fortunate that I got to share these amazing experiences with him and Erin on the road. It literally shaped me into the performer and into the person I am today, with all of that joy and seeing their work ethic and their passion. Just like what we said earlier in the podcast, if you're going to do something, commit, give 100%. You're there, be present, and build it together as a team, and make whatever project you are doing, not just performing, this is a life lesson. Put your all into something if you truly believe in it, and it will become a success, and joy will spread. Anton is a prime example of this bundle of joy and how he shares his abundance in so many different ways, and he is leaving his mark on this planet. You know, he always made me laugh, he always made me feel good, he led us with such joy, and what a lovely trait to have and want to share. So tune in to Strictly on Saturday and Sunday and every weekend on BBC One, and you will see how many times Anton actually says the word joy and joyous, and it will literally make you smile now that you've brought your attention to it from the power of joy. But thank you so much for listening, and I would really appreciate it if you give this podcast a rating, a little review, and give it a share around if you enjoyed it, and spread that Strictly magic. You can follow Anton at Mr. Anton de Beck on social media, and you can follow myself at It's Adam Lyons. And you can catch Anton playing Smee in The Magical Tale of Peter Pan this Christmas at the New Victoria Theatre in Woking. It's running from the 8th of December to the 7th of January, and it's going to be unmissable festive fun, so go and catch him there. So I'm going to love you and leave you with a dose of joy with a quote which a friend sent me, which I absolutely love. I recently learned about a term called a glimmer, which is essentially the opposite of a trigger. Glimmers are those micro moments in your day that make you feel joy, happiness, peace, or gratitude. Once you train your brain to be on the lookout for glimmers, the more these tiny moments will begin to appear. And it is so true. I hope you have a lot of glimmers today, and I shall see you next time on The Power of Joy. Oh, and one more thing. Keep dancing!